Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio. Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
Oh, there's big things going on in the trial of Brian Koberger. What does it all mean for the future of the case? Well, we have a legal mind here that can help us break this all down. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. Basically, in a nutshell, a 27-page nutshell, once it's all broken down, they're asking for a stay in the trial. They're wanting more time to go through the evidence. They say they haven't figured out their expert witnesses yet. They haven't figured out this. They haven't figured out that. The whole thing is out there. From your experience here, how can we tell the difference between a legitimate need for more time? Again, it is a death penalty case, so you really got to cross the T's and dot the I's. So I'm certainly giving that leverage here to them. And just basically a strategic delay that's just basically about running the clock, and maybe something will happen, maybe more things will leak, and then more things will have to get thrown out. I mean, what do you think is going on here in this case?
Without question, delay is a friend of the defense. And that includes delays that are legitimate and delays that might be more strategic and however you want to characterize it. And so, you know, certainly that they have some arguments, right, for the delay. Like you said, the complexity of the case, it's a quadruple homicide. It's got national attention, death penalty case. There's all sorts of experts and witnesses and investigations, everything else. That does tend to bode in favor of a continuance. On the other hand, sometimes when things, you know, are rocky and not looking so great, some defense attorneys could just hope that like you said, there's some kind of development or there's some other thing that happens that could help them, and they need more time to look into that.
Because it's interesting, there's two things being tied here together with the defense. We need more time, and Dateline has now made this case too difficult to not have an unbiased jury. That's the argument that's being made. And maybe those pieces of evidence should be thrown out. To me, more time would give that, I guess, a louder voice or a longer opportunity for those sort of considerations to be made, or for more leaks to come out and more things to be reported on out in the public that could affect the case. Do you think they're kind of trying to bet more in that angle of what else you got? What else has been leaked out? And just hoping more gets leaked out that will then somehow work to their advantage?
Potentially, yes. You know, this isn't the first case that Dateline has covered. This is something that happens and nationally publicized cases. And you got to know that going in, and you got to be ready to navigate it. And so, you know, it could be really bad for them in terms of their additional leaks. And so I think that they have to be cautious about providing opportunities for additional bad stuff to happen in the case. The case is already really bad.
Yeah, I mean, Hipler seems to be very taking this pretty seriously, the stuff that got out to Dateline, doing an investigation internally, everybody's phone, everything. We want to see everybody who's touched this case. Who have you communicated with? They're going to try and get down to who actually made that leak. How do you think this could affect the case? I know there's rumblings out of, well, this could make some of that evidence become excluded from the case. Is there any reality to that being a possibility? I mean, they're pretty big pieces of evidence in this case. And just because the public has knowledge of them, I don't quite understand the logic that somehow this is not going to allow him to have a fair and unbiased jury as long as they do a responsible job of picking a jury.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of the movie Liar Liar with Jim Carrey, where he says, "Objection, Your Honor." And the judge says, "What's the ground?" And he said, "It's terribly bad for my case." not a valid legal objection. There is no legal mechanism by which you can try to exclude evidence because it's problematic and it may have come out in a way you didn't anticipate. Especially when we're talking about Dateline. Dateline is not a party to the case. The judge can't control what Dateline does, that kind of thing. And so I think that's kind of grasping at straws to say this evidence shouldn't come in because of how it was leaked or whatever.
Is this just another strand of spaghetti that's maybe taking a little bit longer to fall off the wall that Ann Taylor has pitched at it?
I mean, well could be, you know, that she's got a, you know, bring out all the stops. She's got to leave no stone unturned, leave no argument unasserted. And she's certainly doing that.
She's sitting in the Olive Garden kitchen with all the pasta in the world. And she's just like chucking this stuff and seeing what actually goes. Fortunately, a lot of them have been penne pasta, which just doesn't stick to a wall. So you got to go for more spaghetti, and that will work a lot better. Logistically, I mean, again, crossing the T's, dotting the I's. You really want to make sure that this is done right. You don't want to have any appellate options. And they're certainly getting it on the record right now saying, hey, we need more time. We need more time. And if they don't allow that, that certainly will be an argument that they can have on appeals if he is, in fact, convicted, assuming that he is convicted. But is there legitimacy to this? I know it's been argued, we didn't have access to this. Well, it turns out you actually did. You've been sitting here for 3 years now, having access to a lot of these things, or is there things in this case? I mean, you've seen both sides of this from a defense attorney aspect and from a prosecutor aspect. Is Ann being honest where we didn't have access to this and the court's like, yeah, you did?
You know, these factual disputes come up and sometimes it's hard to parse out exactly what happened, exactly who knew what, that kind of thing. That being said, the court does kind of have to err on the side of caution here. They do not want to give some sort of ground for appeal that they don't necessarily have to give. You know, this case has been going on for years now. It certainly has to come to trial soon. But is one trial continuance for reasons that at least appear on their face to be valid, a fair move? Probably.
Do you think that the judge will grant a continuance here? I mean, we're talking 2 months before this thing is supposed to start.
Yeah, you know, I think we're getting close to the deadline here in terms of, the judge can't grant these continuances indefinitely. Mm-hmm. But here, I think the request was made significantly in advance of trial, although trial's close. And I think the judge would be smart to probably grant this one. Beyond that, though, I think we're kind of getting to a place where we got to say, hey, we're doing this thing.
Third-party culprit, that's the other argument that's being made by the Koberger camp. They have to turn over. I don't know if we might be passing the deadline by the time this airs for when they have to get that to the judge. Give us an idea. How detailed does this report have to be? I mean, I know the last time they wanted the alibi, and it's he likes to look at the stars. It needs to be more than that. What exactly do they have to turn over? What sort of marks does it have to make for it to pass the sniff test of the judge?
Usually the legal standard to allow this alternative suspect evidence is that there is a direct, non-speculative connection between the alternative suspect and what happened. So it can't just be like, this neighbor lived kind of close and he's got like kind of a shady expression on his face when police are interviewing him. I think it's probably that guy. Let us argue that, Jess. No. That would be speculative. There's got to be a direct non-speculative connection. That being said, the strategy from defense would be to provide the least amount of information allowable, because you don't want to show your hand more than you need to. Defense doesn't usually have disclosure obligations. Here they do, but they have to satisfy those judiciously.
They said they're going to bring one in. I mean, was that just a ploy for time, or are they going to bring one in? Do you think they actually will have someone that they're going to bring to the table here?
You know, on the defense side, when you're doing defense investigation, you get leads here and there and you follow those leads, and something might seem really promising in the beginning and then turn out not to be promising. So, just them sort of having rumors about having this alternative suspect is the same as really bringing to the table, the courtroom table, the evidence and reports and possibly testimony required to meet the standard to argue alternative suspect. What do they have in their back pocket? They haven't had much in terms of other issues. Let's see what they have in this one.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, another case that, we're talking a lot about here, the Karen Reed case, there's the alternative suspect that's been allowed in there, despite there not being any evidence that points to these other people being alternative suspects. That felt like a little kind of loose on the rules of, we're going to accuse a whole household of people of conspiring to kill a fellow cop. So how loose, I mean, it feels like the rules can be that loose over there. And we're talking about a different state too. I mean, can they be that loose over here too, where we can just kind of throw anything into the ether? Because in my mind, if they're going to be that loose with the rules, are they going to start trying to accuse the two surviving roommates or something? I don't know who else they would be going after or who they could possibly say had anything to do with this. And in no way am I saying the roommates had anything to do with this, but I'm just trying to figure out, what are they going to try and bring to the table here?
You know, the rules can definitely be as loose in the Koberger case as they have been in Karen Reed in terms of arguing alternative suspect. And here's why. There's case law that essentially advises judges to liberally construe this standard to allow in stuff, because if you prohibit an entire defense, like alternative suspect defense, because you think it's arguable whether they met the standard, I don't think they met it, we're not going to allow it, that could be that's a big ground on which cases are often reversed. So judges often err on the side of caution and say, this is kind of a close call, and there's not, you know, there's kind of scant evidence of this, but there's enough direct non-speculative evidence to allow defense to at least argue, to at least have a shot. And then if the jury rejects it, they reject it.
That would be no way. I have no idea what the hell they're going to say. Obviously you don't either, but if they were to go down that road and like try and go after those two, that's not a good look either. I mean, if you're really like wanting to guarantee the death penalty for your client, that might be the one to take. I mean, already it's pretty damning, but if you're then going to try and ruin the lives even more of these two other roommates, I can't imagine that's where they're going, but I don't know. It feels like anything is possible here in this case.
You know, unless they had something really substantiated against the other roommates, and I have no evidence that they
did,
but just talking hypothetically, if they did, they should argue that, but you got to be concerned about how that could rub a jury the wrong way, especially if you don't really have the goods to back it up. Because the jury's going to be on there not only for the guilt phase, but the penalty phase. And the potential penalty is death. Yeah. And if you are accusing someone's friend who lost, you know, their four friends and roommates and college mates, and like you said, making their life worse, a jury's going to, that's going to be in their mind when they're deciding, hey, does this person deserve the ultimate penalty?
Yeah.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio. Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio. Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.